Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, just know that none of this is normal. None of it. And also remember, some of our greatest lessons will be a result of our biggest failures, our greatest pains, and our greatest struggles. So learn from that. Welcome to the Rob O'Donnell Show on this Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025, on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. 308-73 and just outstanding outside. Make sure you get some outside. This is the kind of day you need to say enough's enough. You know, I was walking through the office here and we had the receptionist up front and I was like, forward those calls and get out of here a little early. But she had to go sit on a student pickup line, so it was with no rush to leave. But it's that kind of day outside. So get outside and enjoy it. Go for your walk. Get some fresh air. Get some vitamin D. It's going to be a beautiful evening tonight. If you follow me on social media, I posted a picture of just after sunset up at my house. The sky was a great orange and red and yellow. And just one of those nights you just look and be thankful. Thankful you're breathing again. Thankful you're here. Thankful where I live. Thankful you know, I get to share that with you guys each and every day, weekdays from 3 to 6. So lots of things we have on the discussion board today. I did see, before we get into the gist of things, did get a report last night. And I did see a little glow, but it must not have been too big of a fire, of a brush fire up near us in Scott Township last night. I think it was relatively small because I didn't see it much more after the first reports of it. I did see a little glow from my viewpoint of my mountain that looks over in that direction. But man, there's some doozies, and we're going to talk about them in a little bit later on in the show. But 12,000 acres out of control, only 30% contained in New Jersey. Evacuations. It's an all hands on deck for first responders out there. So our thoughts and prayers go to them in dealing with this. Thankfully, as of earlier today, there were no structures involved, but it was right on that cusp. It was right on the line of those homes and some businesses and leaning up against a decommissioned nuclear plant. So, and again, no worry there. It's just the vacant structures. Everything's been decommissioned and moved. But concerning nonetheless. You never know with those kind of places if they told us the truth from the start. So we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. And here, a little locally, closer to home, there was the Scranton mayoral debate between the Democrats and the Republicans last night. The story just came out a little while ago. I was seeing some information, some pictures earlier today. One of the odd things that was pointed out was the two Republican candidates sat at one long table together. And when it was time for the Democrat candidates, which is includes the current mayor of Scranton, those tables were separated apart and they did not sit together. And some people just said it was odd that there was a change made for that. And I wasn't there, so I don't know who went first. I don't know what the situation was, but just odd. Usually when those places are set up, they're set up and that's the end of it. But it was one of the things that I would love to be asked, and no one seems to ask it or want to ask it, is if you, and this is to all four candidates, the two Republicans, the two Democrats, one being the incumbent, and I believe there's two independents that have announced they're running. It's a simple question. If you are elected as mayor of Scranton, do you commit to serving your full term? It seems like a pretty easy and honest question. But no one seems to want to ask it because there's a lot of rumors around of other offices and other, you know, horizons for some people. It's a simple question. And I think the people of Scranton, donors, supporters, deserve an honest answer. It's very simple. If you are elected to as a term for mayor of Scranton, do you commit to serving your full term? Now, obviously, we've seen people on all spectrums decide otherwise. But I think the question needs to be asked. And if within, let's say, months, or let's say less than a year, there's a run for something else, well, you know what? You weren't completely honest. But it's interesting that this debate at one of our colleges in the area, political science, departments. Don't ask the question that if simple question. If you were elected to a term as mayor, do you plan on seeing that through? Looking at some text messages coming in already. I guess there was a Scranton City Council meeting last night. I did not get a chance to see that yet. Usually I watch it today, but there was a lot of things going on today. Quite honestly, the beautiful weather. So did not watch it today. So I got to catch up on that. So one of the other stories, and this is already burning some on both sides. And not really, it's I shouldn't say both sides. It's been discussed on why would you phrase it in such a way? So the Democrat Pennsylvania governor, Josh Shapiro, revealed yesterday that President Trump called him over the weekend to ask how his family was doing after the arson attack on the governor's residence earlier this month. He said, "I appreciated that the president called me," Shapiro told reporters at the annual Easter egg hunt in Harrisburg, the first public event held at the governor's mansion since the April 13th blaze, destroying the historic owned building dining room. "I actually didn't take his call because it came from his cell phone, and I didn't have that number in my phone, so I didn't know who it was," the governor said. "As soon as I heard the message, I called him right back." Pretty cool that the president of the United States uses his own cell phone, has caller ID to where you can call it right back and get him. That's pretty good. Shapiro said he spoke with Trump for more than 15 minutes. The two discussed several topics, including the arson attack that forced the governor, his family, guest, and pets to rush out of the building in the wee hours of the morning. We've been talking about this. The governor said he was very gracious, Shapiro said of Trump, noting that the president asked about his wife, Lori, and his four children, who had all been asleep when Molotov cocktails were tossed into the building, lighting a huge blaze. He asked how Lori and the kids were doing. "We talked for a couple of minutes about what transpired at the residence. And then we talked about, for maybe the next 15 minutes or so, about a whole host of other topics," Shapiro said. The governor refused to go into details about the other topics that were discussed. "Obviously, I'm not going to get into our private conversation," he said, "but his attuned to the issues that are important to me. I, of course, know the issues that are important to him, and we agreed to stay in touch going forward." It's a good, respectful dialogue back and forth. Glad it happened. Glad the governor and the president both took the high road on this. And it's amazing that some on social media, mostly supporters of Shapiro, saying, "You know, why would you even call him back? Why would you take his call? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?" So it's ridiculous, and it's good on the governor's part to say, "Hey, we had a private conversation, and that's the way it stays." I'm sure the governor, who was not shy to voice his opinion, said some things that he wanted to say as far as things that were important to him, his party in Pennsylvania. And that's the way it's supposed to go. When you have an open dialogue, honest, respectful dialogue, you discuss different topics. You discuss things you don't agree with. And you keep it between yourselves. And that's admirable. And I respect Governor Josh Shapiro for his stance on this. And he was pushed to kind of reveal a little more, and he didn't. Now, Cody Bomber, who's now being classified as the alleged anti-Semitic madman accused of scaling the fence, smashing a window with a hammer, and hurling Molotov cocktail into the governor's residence as Shapiro and his family slept, has been charged with arson, attempted murder, terrorism, and other offenses. The information that's coming out now that his mother tried to have him what's called 302'd, involuntarily committed, by police and failed at doing that. That is going to play a role in this case moving forward. And if in fact this can be proven, and if in fact there is record of this, and it's come up several times, so I have no reason to believe it's not true, But, you know, that'll have to be shown as evidence in a court if they're going to use it as any sort of affirmative defense as his mental state. But if his mother can prove, and his lawyer, through his mother and testimony, can prove that she did in fact reach out to law enforcement, she did try to have him committed under a 302, which is a involuntary mental hold where they take you against your will and have you evaluated by psychiatrists to see if you're competent to be out in public, if you're safe to be out in public. And if not, that now that's a both legal and medical proceeding that needs to take place there. If that is true, this could very well navigate where this goes as far as charges happen. And it should. It appears that this was before this event, and if there is a history of mental illness, if there's a history of this person being on medication like his family said he was and he stopped taking, then he should be treated in a certain manner. Not get off, not given be given a pass. I mean, he risked the governor's and his family's life. That needs some sort of repercussions. But if this can be shown in court that this history is there, and just day or two prior, his family was trying to get him mental health and have him committed against his whim, it will work as an affirmative defense in not justifying, but giving reason to how and why he did the things he did. You know, as far as his ramblings and his actions after the fact, to where he attempted to turn himself in multiple times, it appears, called the state police once or twice, and didn't get a response fast enough, so he walked a mile or two to the state police headquarters and turned himself in. And that's when he was taken into custody. Now, it was an ongoing investigation. I'm sure they were still trying to figure out who was who, and if this person was even involved or just some sort of whack job calling to say he was involved. But all this will come out as it moves forward. But it's interesting, this day and age where we have this partisan vitriol against each other, to where you have a president, if you agree with him or not, call a governor, if you agree with him or not politically, like either one or don't like either one, but was obviously put through a very traumatic instance, especially when your family, your children, your home is involved. I don't know anybody who's ever had a crime committed on their home, even on their vehicle. And when I lived on Long Island, I had my car broken into in my driveway, and that truly felt like a violation. And that was nothing more than, you know, smashing the window and getting in my car and really not getting anything. But the fact that it happened in my driveway, feet from my door with my family inside, it was not very comforting. Now, thankfully, less than a week, we were able to catch the person because we were able to track some of the things he did take, his use of them. One of them being my work cell phone, to where he hit some cell towers and we were able to get a location on him. But it's still, if your house has ever been broken into, if you've it's a different level of crime, and it truly gets to a lot of people, if not anyone, everyone. So the fact that all this went on and people are questioning, well, why would you take a call from him? Or why would you even call that governor? You know, why not? Why not? Their political differences have nothing to do with someone throwing Molotov cocktails in your dining room while your family's sleeping, you know, a few doors away. That transcends any political view, and it should always transcend any political view. So I applaud both the president and the governor on this conversation and how they both reacted to the conversation and kept it between them. And to all the naysayers who think this is a good or bad thing, I just don't get it. And I think we need to find a little more humanity when it comes to especially things like this, that politics isn't everything. Matter of fact, it's very little in life. It's just seemed to be put at the forefront now because of, you know, the times we're in, I guess. It's 3:23 here at WILK.